Good morning, everyone. And it's good to be back with you. It is true, I'll be sharing with you about Rwanda. But first and foremost, I think it's important to go to the Word of God. So if you will, go with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25 will be our topic this morning. Brother John just got mentioning that our brother over here, Cindy's son, sits in harm's way. He's a hero. We have many of men in this church who have been in combat. They have been in war. And unlike the wars with mankind, sometimes there is a neutrality. Sometimes there is neutral, there is a draw. But there is absolutely no neutrality or no neutral ground when it comes between the war and the flesh, which we'll be reading about. But before we go on, let us go to prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, the everlasting Lord, we give you thanks for your righteousness, which is in Christ, that you see us as holy because you have placed us in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we are your children, and because we are in Christ, we are holy before you. Dear Lord God, open up your eyes, open up our eyes, that we would behold the wonders of your truth, of your law, concerning the battle between the flesh and the spirit, O Lord, and help us to live and to walk by that, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Our text out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 25, yes, deals with the struggle which every single one of us goes through. Even the Apostle Paul, that he acknowledges this in Romans 7, the struggle, the war between the flesh and the spirit. And he says in verse 16 here, but I say, speaking to the church of Ephesus, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. First of all, what does he mean by walk? Walk is to make one's way, to progress, to make one's use of opportunities. To live means to regulate one's life, to conduct one's self, to pass one's life, to bring forth your life. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh, and there are 15 of them. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, emptiness, strife, jealousy, outburst of angers, disputes, decisions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing, which I would say that we are guilty of practically every single one of those things. But I don't have time to go through every single one of them. But I want to emphasize one of them. Why in Rwanda? I did not get an opportunity to go to one place that we had hoped we got to go to, and that was going to be to a rehab center, which they deal with drug addiction. Drug addiction is something that faces every single one of us here in this country, in any country around the world. Rwanda is growing. It's in the Soviet Union. It's in Israel. It's in Bolivia. It's all over the world. Drug addiction. Why bring up drug addiction in this context? Because one of the struggles of the flesh, there you will read, number 5, dealing with sorcery. Sorcery. I think it's a weak translation. If you go back to the Greek, the word that is there is pharmakia, where we get our English word pharmacy from, drugs from. Drugs is an epidemic, and I dare say many inside the body of Christ struggle with drug addiction due to cocaine, heroin, legalized marijuana, and a host of other drugs. The speed, the acid, the methamphetamines that are all out there, we struggle with daily. People do. Let's be clear what we're talking about here when we talk about the pharmacia. It is the administer of drugs, the use of medicines, drugs or spells, one who prepares or uses magical remedies or sorcery. A drug devoted to magical arts, a magician, and again, translates several times sorcery. Pharmacist, and one of the ugliest meanings, I think, that goes along with this word, poisoner. That's exactly what it is. It's a poison. It is indeed a poison. If one does not walk by the Spirit of God and he is a believer and he has a problem in this area, he most definitely will fall to this area. But allow me, if you will, to go down and speak a little bit more on the street level about this poisoner, about this drug. Drugs are often talked about how they're going to make life better for you. You get to escape your reality. You're going to have fun with them, etc., etc., to make your life better. I spent 20 years with Indio Police Department. I have arrested many people who were under the influence of drugs. And I dare say, I did not find one. No, not one. And there are a lot more men in the law enforcement agency who are a lot more skilled in the drug war than I was. And I yet to find one person who ever said they ran against a person who was addicted to drugs, who was happy, who was better off. I'll challenge anybody on to find me one person who walks the faith of this earth and say, hey, before I started taking drugs, my life was bad. But when I started taking them, man, my life just turned all the better. Oh, no, it did not. It did not. I have seen a case that I dealt with, which to see how sin can make you literally ugly, not only on spiritually inside, but can make you ugly on the outside. A partner and I were called one time to take care of a call up here at the Oasis Health Care Clinic off Oasis Street, the mental health clinic. We walked in there, and it was alleged 261, which is a rape. And a female there, a very pretty female who I would say could easily have been on a Vogue magazine, without a doubt. She could have been on a Vogue magazine. She was just drop dead gorgeous. She could have been on a Vogue magazine, and I mean that in all sincerity. She started telling us about her problems, et cetera, et cetera. So we took the information down, and the supposed rape charge seemed to be bogus. Almost to the date, literally by one date, me and my partner out on this beat. It happens to be the same partner. We get called back to the Oasis Center. We go there. It's the same girl, we think. We're looking at her. And we're looking at ourselves. Is this the same girl? Is this the same girl? And finally she thought, yeah, I remember you two blankety blanks. You're him and you're the blankety blank in. Yeah, I remember you guys. She came from a wealthy family. After we had spoke to her that first time, that year when she got out, she wouldn't hit the drug life hard. What could have been the model of a Vogue magazine would now make Godzilla look gorgeous. And I really don't say that to be funny. I mean, it tore her apart. Many of you in here know people. Know what I'm describing. You've seen people get on meth. You've seen people take the acids. You've seen people take the heroin. And it will turn them ugly quick, real quick. Because they are addicted to sorcery, they are addicted to pharmacia, drugs. But please understand, I'm not preaching and saying that all drugs are bad. There comes a time for drugs. Our sister's going to be going under a knife. You want your drugs when you go under the knife. I've been under the knife. I want my drugs. Pump me up, doctor. Feel me, control me with those drugs. Yes, indeed. Indeed, I yield all my veins to you. Yes, because I don't want to feel no pain. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the illicit use, the illegal use of drugs. That's what I am talking about. If you look at all the rest of these 16 descriptions of the flesh, the immorality, the sensuality, decision, envy, infraction, notice that anyone who gets caught up into the drug use and gets addicted falls into all of these areas, for the most part, you can say is true. Falls into these parts. Let me be very strong here too. And I'm by no means desire to be offensive or rude, especially to my mothers in the Lord. I know that you grew up in a different area, but the reality is now we live in 2015. I especially give the women caution on getting to drugs. And had I been able to allow to speak in Rwanda at this particular clinic we were going to go to, if things just happened where it didn't happen, or didn't go down, there were women there who were going to be there amongst the men. And when it comes to drug addiction, women really set themselves up in a bad place. Men, in order to feed their drug addiction, will get into carousing, will get into fighting, will get into decisions, will get into stealing to feed their habit. Talk to people who've been on drugs. Perhaps some of you have been in here. What do? You break into homes and stuff like that. You steal the cameras, you steal the TVs in order to get your fix for that day. But if you're a woman, the immorality, the sensuality, because about the only thing you're left to do, you're not strong enough to really fight, you resort to prostitution. And I've seen that take place on the streets within India, where I once served. Absolutely. It's almost like it's a guarantee. If you start to go by the ways of the flesh, that is what's going to happen to you, especially when you get caught up into this sorcery, this addiction of drugs. It will happen. But we have to realize, when we're caught up in this thing, there is a means of help. And why bring out these other definitions about magical arts, about magicians and sorcerers and remedies? Because oftentimes it is under that high that people have their fantasies about certain things. They have hallucinations about things. And people get deceived while under the influence of drugs. And it takes them further and further down the road. Let me give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. This is dealing with one of the trumpet judgments here. And the angel's coming about, bringing about his judgment upon mankind. And notice what happens in verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their pharmacies, nor of their drugs, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. People don't repent of it. And God will judge them for it. Yes, drug addiction is a sin. Stick with me in the book of Revelation to chapter 21, verse 8. To chapter 21, verse 8. The same word we're going to come, that pharmacia. 21, verse 8. For the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, druggies, drug users, pharmacia, and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Go with me to one more in Revelation. That is chapter 22, verse 15. This is dealing with the eternal state. This is dealing with the eternal state. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the pharmacias and the druggers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves the practices lying. All deeds of the flesh. All deeds of the flesh which we war against. Is there hope? Yes, there is hope. There absolutely is hope to this. And the hope is this. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Every single one of those belongs to the person who's in Christ. And it's funny, people who get on drugs and get into other crimes and seeking these things that are not of God, these are the very things they want in their life. They want true love, they want peace, they want faithfulness, they want gentleness, they want self-control. But you don't get it apart from the flesh. I mean, apart from Christ, you do not get it. Oh, I know there's the rehab centers out there. I know that, and they have brought hope to some people. I understand. I'm not throwing away the rehab centers, but in the final end, the only thing that counts is, are you in Christ? I know with an audience like this, and I know some of your personal lives too, because you have allowed me into your personal lives, and they will not be disclosed here. I know some of you have dealt with children who've had drug problems. I know that. Some of you have spoken to me about that. This is what I strongly suggest. One thing to head this off the past, and especially for you young parents, before your kids get to the age where they're addicted, or really get to, I should say, the temptations of it would be better. The temptations of, sit down and tell them the consequences of drugs. Sit down there and tell them what you will do as a parent to them if they do get involved in drugs. Why do I say that? Is that not the very thing God did with Adam and Eve? He warned them before they sinned what would happen to them before they died. When Israel came into the land, did God not tell Israel, if you do this, you shall live, Deuteronomy 28, but if you do this, you shall die? Does God not tell the church, if you obey me, this will happen to you, and if you disobey me, this is going to happen to you? God gives us forewarning. You should do that with your children. If the event should happen, you should be very swift with your steps of judgment or your steps of punishment. You should be. A dear personal friend of mine recently called me about his child who was a teenager hooked on heroin. This very child, like a lot of these children here, I carried around in my arms. I did. Knew both of his kids. One of the children did not get hooked on the drugs, but the youngest one did, became a heroin addict. I called him. He lives down south somewhere, way south. And I asked him, how are things going? Things aren't going good. My kid's hooked on heroin. He's stealing. He's being rude to his mom, etc., etc., etc. And I told him, and a lot of you may disagree with what I'm going to say here. You need to kick him out of the house. You need to lock the doors. Don't give him a key. Don't give him any money because you're enabling him. Now, I did not say early on, maybe try to help them with rehabilitation, et cetera, et cetera. And I agree that should be done to an extent. But I've known many parents who have literally lost their retirements are trying to help their kids out of drugs. They have lost their retirements because of that. They have lost their house. They have doubled. They have even tripled their mortgage on their house. There comes a time when you have to kick the child out. And you say, Troy, that's hard love. That's not right. That's not biblical. Oh, I say it is. Did God not do that to Adam and Eve? Did God not send the prophets to Israel and say, if you don't get it together, I'm going to kick you out of the land. And when you get kicked out of the land, you are going to have nothing but except heartache coming to you. You're going to be taken down to the gutter when I kick you out of the land. And God did. But then that's when Israel woke up. It was the prodigal son who woke up when he was taken to the pig swine. Finally, when he was living with pigs, he woke up and saw. Sometimes, as for this child, when I told them to have locked the door on him, don't give him any money, don't accept any phone calls from him, they did it. And of course, and usually in all these cases, it is the mother who has the hardest time doing this. That is no offense to the mothers. Because they're more emotionally abound, they have the harder time. Well, they did it. The mom finally came in. Praise be to God, the son is living down in Los Angeles right now, and he's doing a whole lot better. But they had to kick him out. They had to kick him out. It's the same thing God did to Israel. And if you look at the final end, where's Israel at with God? Sitting on the highest mountain of Jerusalem, glorifying God, everyone knowing, because he had to take him through the hard road. He had to take him through the hard road. But that victory comes in Christ. Not only is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control, against such things there is no law. There is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Those who belong to Christ, we get into now the means of victory in verses 24 through 25, belong to Christ. In other words, be born again. Realize that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and receive Him as your Savior. Two, verse 25, live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Remember, to live by the Spirit means to bring forth life, to conduct one's life, to pass on one's life, to regulate one's life. To walk by the Spirit means to make one's way, to progress, to make one's use of opportunities. And this comes by being in Christ. When we crucify ourselves, we crucify the flesh with its passions and its desires. And crucifying is a hard thing to do. Paul tells us to do that same thing in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 12, to offer up ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. What's the difference between a dead sacrifice and a living sacrifice on the altar? The living sacrifice on the altar moves, and it's hard to kill yourself. It's hard to stay there and just let the knife get into you and take you over. It's hard because we're all flesh. I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I can't just stay here, Lord. This man cuts me out and I need to beat his face in. That's what I need to do. You know, get the Joshua effect, the Gideon effect going on here. You know, ooh, she's looking good. I got to talk to her. After all, it's a holy dating service. It's a ministry, you know. Like, I want to date this girl, this Babylonian woman over here. No, it's of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit. It's hard to crucify the flesh. When he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, he is not telling you will not never have the desire. He is telling you you will not carry it out. There's a difference. Every single one of you are going to continue to be challenged with the flesh, as I am too. And if you think that's exclusive to you, turn with me real quick over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. The same author here, Paul. Paul, an apostle. Paul, who received a vision from God on his way to Damascus. Paul, who did miracles. Paul, who wrote more books of the New Testament than anybody. And look at what he says here. I'll start with verse 15 and then we'll skip some. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing that which I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle of evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law that is good in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Is that not true? And I guarantee it, and I'll hit it right on the nose, 100% of you who are believers go through that. And I'm pointing all fingers back at myself. Hold on. There is hope. Verses 24 and 25 of Romans. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was exhorted by a brother just right here this morning during a break. Troy, don't forget, you have the righteousness of Christ in you. And he's right on the nose. And I told that brother, he is right too. He has the righteousness of Christ in him also. It is the righteousness of Christ in which we have. When we have the righteousness of Christ, if we live by the Spirit, we will not carry out that act of pharmacia. Why do I bring up the drug issue specifically? Because it is the drugs that is tearing apart this nation. It is the drugs that are tearing apart a lot of nations. And the Revelation verses I gave you, notice that they deal with the last days. I will challenge anybody in here, because I'm seeing it with in my law enforcement career. And if you talk to the people inside of law enforcement, I guarantee you, you think marijuana's legal right now? I bet you in 10 years cocaine is. I'll bet anybody here any of some money you want to. I bet you 10 years from now, you can take a line right off this pulpit and not go to jail. I'll bet you. I'll bet you. Pharmacia, in the context of our reading, we're looking at, or something I believe was happening with the commercial Babylon, the ecclesiastical Babylon. Drugs will be a part of the big time of the use of getting people to worship the Antichrist. Drugs. Because it deludes your mind. It's a means of magical sorcery to trick people, to deceive people. That's exactly what drugs do. So, again, back to the victory. Belong to Christ, crucify the flesh, live by the Spirit, also walk by the Spirit. And as Paul would also tell us in Ephesians 5, chapter 18 through 21, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Not be filled with wine, for when we get filled with wine, we become drunk. We become controlled. But if you want to be controlled by God, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And the only way you can be filled with the Spirit is that is to be born again, to yield to the Spirit. When you were in the world, when we were in the world, you made the decision whether you wanted to drink enough booze or get enough drugs to be controlled by them. But I say, no, don't do that. Be filled by the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. When you're controlled by the Spirit, your wife, your life with your relationship with your kids, with your children, with your wife, with your coworkers will go a whole lot better for you. You have peace with God when you're walking by the Spirit, when you're living by the Spirit. So, I conclude with this here. Do understand that the struggle that you go through with is part of the Christian walk. You're not a sinner because you're not wrong because you struggle against the flesh and the Spirit. You're wrong when you yield to it. Understand that even the Apostle Paul had the same struggle. So don't think that you're crazy because you have a desire to do wrong. I can't tell you how many Troy's bent will be towards anger. I confess that to you right now. There's times when, you know, we got to do this the Second Amendment way. You know, this praying's taking too long, and a 308 travels at, you know, muzzle load out barrels is 3,200 feet per second. Am I right on that, Lieutenant? You know, and so it travels real quick, and we can end this thing real quick. But that is wrong. That is wrong. Instead, I should pray for my enemy, which is difficult a lot of times to do, to walk in the Spirit, because what? That is crucifying the flesh. And crucifixions were means of execution, punishment. And it's tough to do that which is right. But it was what Christ did for us. He was crucified. He was crucified for us. So we also should do that. So, walk by the Spirit and carry out the desires, walk by the Spirit and carry out the fruit of the Spirit, which we all want in our lives and we all want in our families. Is love, peace, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, joy, patience, goodness, and kindness, which comes from God above. Which comes from God above. I end with that. 3 weeks ago, we went to Rwanda, my wife and I. And that was a blessing. But before I get into Rwanda, I got to give praise here and thanks to a particular man. A man who has discipled many people over the years. A man who has touched my life immensely. He doesn't know that, but he has. Many of you know him. This is a man who has served his country well. He served as a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. He served in the Pentagon. From what I was told, he even trained Colin Powell. He's a man who at first didn't believe in the Lord. Sit there with that military proud uniform on, don't need God. Yeah, military.
Well, the military ain't nothing when it comes to God. That's the American military, Israeli military, Russian military, all of them combined. God just says, oh, you bore me. And he changed a man's heart. Yes, I'm talking about Uncle Bob, our lieutenant colonel. The head of our biblical counseling course here, what this fine staff of Cindy and Bobby and others who have helped him. And because of that ministry, our house has been opened up. Kate, who always contacts us. Now, hey, I got a lady who'd like to stay with us. She's from Africa. She's from Rwanda. Well, Chantel is her name. She came and she stayed with us for 2 weeks and we drew close to her. And Uncle Bob, your name was mentioned many times in that. Okay.